Welcome to Lesson 5 of Next Level 7. I'm Brian Clark, and today I want to introduce you to a process for building your perfect business. But first, let's take a look into the future. Neal Stephenson is a science fiction author who's written novels exploring virtual reality, nanotechnology, and the privacy implications of an all-encompassing digital environment, just to name a few, and that was a quarter century ago. He rivals William Gibson, the guy who coined the term cyberspace in a novel back in 1984, as an eerily accurate foreteller of what's to come. Here's a summary of his newest book, Fall. The digital haves and have-nots are separated by who can afford human editors to curate the web, filter out the rubbish, and guard their employers' identities and information online. There are those privileged enough to float above the noise, selectively dipping in for reliable information, and those drowning in and being driven mad by the mass of disinformation and propaganda lurking below. 10 years ago, that would have made for a gripping sci-fi read, but no one would see it as inevitable. Right now, it hits way too close to home. But it's also another indication of where we are and what type of value people of all income levels desperately want and need. On a more practical level, we only have to look at the success of NextDraft, The Hustle, The Skim, Morning Brew, Pod News, and many others to see that the value proposition of curation is working. But does that mean it's too late? No, it's just the beginning. Those examples are merely the pioneers that precede every mainstream digital marketing movement. For example, in 1999, I figured out how to build a successful small business powered by email marketing. The fact that I use content-based newsletters was novel in the broader business world, but there were plenty of way early pioneers in email publishing, including Seth Godin, Chris Perillo, and many others. I learned from them, and thanks to Godin, tweaked my revenue model away from advertising. That led to two more successful businesses over the next 6 years. In 2005, I saw an opportunity within the context of blogging, which was just beginning to move from idealism to commercialism. At the time, there were certain rules. You had to post every day, you didn't go over 250 words, and blogs were single author, often egocentric publications. So I wrote 1,000-word educational articles only twice a week. I wrote in serial format to create robust guides for certain topics and assembled them on content landing pages that attracted links like crazy, and eventually popularized the then unheard-of practice of accepting guest articles to more resemble a magazine instead of a blog. In other words, I saw where things were going in the blurring of media and marketing, and I went there hard. There were popular blogs already at the time like Deuce, Huffington Post, and TechCrunch. But looking back at those early pioneers, can you say I was too late for starting my first true blog in 2006 and then proceeding to alter what blogging meant? No. People say all the time they wish they had started blogging in 2006. And yet what they should be doing is looking for the next inflection point, like podcasting had between 2010 and 2014. I've realized that curation is not a niche aberration, but instead the next wave. I've also realized that the fundamentals of audience, offer, and copy remain the same. It's the context that's changed. In fact, it may be that we're simply changing what content marketing means. After all, we're at a point where most content marketing has become like organizationally egocentric, an attitude of I or we know best, only our content matters, and we won't share anything from anyone else with you. People are smarter than that. They know that no matter how useful the information, content marketing comes with an agenda. And that exclusionary attitude that comes with brand content will see its effectiveness continue to decline, because trust and usefulness will decline. Right now in 2020, I see it as similar to 2005, when I started acting on what I was seeing and came up with the idea for Copyblogger. And that's because, like then, the evidence has become too compelling to ignore. How many people are struggling to get any interest in their content, much less their email list, because the idea of subscribing to another single-source newsletter is just not that attractive to people? It's not that these marketers and publishers suck, it's that their value proposition can't keep up. So right off the bat, curators are winning with a better value proposition. Would you rather subscribe to 10 different email newsletters to stay informed about what matters to you, or instead, one or two authored by people who do the work for you? That's an easy choice. Now, I'm not saying that if you love writing or creating original content that you shouldn't. I'm saying to save your content firepower for the stuff that truly matters. Just performing the act of curation over time will reveal the gaps, the things no one is saying that need to be said, the connection points of the larger narrative that matter to your audience. You'll never have to tear your hair out wondering what you should create content about that week. The opportunities will be clear, compelling, and necessary. And if there's nothing necessary to address, you simply work on the other aspects of your business, which you'll find are much more important than creating content just for the sake of it. Curated email newsletters provide the ideal vehicle for freelancers, solopreneurs, and small startup teams. First of all, you're not limited by how much great content you can create, but curation goes well beyond just benefiting from other people's content. Modern marketing is powered by data, scaled by automation, and optimized by analytics, according to the Kellogg School of Management. And while that institution is known for churning out MBAs, they're not wrong. And that's what the combination of curation plus email marketing brings you, a data-rich environment that allows you to glean valuable insight that will guide your business decisions. You'll be doing the opposite of just guessing and failing, like so many product-first entrepreneurs do. You'll have vast amounts of information about your audience, including what they open, what they click on, how they think of themselves, and ultimately, the things that they want to buy. Not what they say they'll buy, but what they'll actually open their wallets for. Jeff Bezos of Amazon has said in the past, "We don't make money when we sell things. We make money when we help customers make purchase decisions." It's a nice sentiment, but it's not really true. Amazon makes money when you buy anything, and they don't care what it is. Sure, they provide a platform that you can search and see related choices and sift through reviews for each, trying to decide what the best choice is. It's often highly time-consuming, and sometimes it's much easier to walk through a store when it comes to finding things you had forgotten you needed or never knew you needed in the first place. On the other hand, curated shopping sites like the Wirecutter and Canopy cut through all of that for you and quickly tell you what you need to know before sending you over to Amazon. They make a commission for their efforts, and you have a new trusted source that makes your life easier. By the way, did you know the New York Times bought Wirecutter for $30 million? Not bad for a bootstrapped affiliate marketing site. So yes, product and service curation can lead to large amounts of revenue without ever developing products and services of your own. But here's the flip side of it. You might find yourself compelled to do so anyway, because this form of curation is incredibly enlightening market research that you get paid to do. And as is the case with seven-figure small businesses, it's up to you how ambitious you want to be and how much you want to push growth. But you must get started before you have the luxury of having that kind of wonderful problem. In the next episode, we're going to explore the blueprint for building your own seven-figure small business. That means the fundamentals, process, and models for you to incorporate into your very own ideal company.